Paul Meacham, Jr.
Someone who is skilled can identify a tree by looking at the shape of its leaves or maybe the texture of its bark. Sometimes they can even tell what type of tree it is from across a long field. I am not one of those skilled people. However, I can identify a tree by looking at its fruit. By picking the fruit and cutting it open and examining it, maybe even tasting it, I can tell you what type of tree it is. I can also tell you whether or not it has received the proper nourishment and whether or not the tree is healthy. You see, all of us recognize fruit bearing as a sign of health. And the same is true of us in a spiritual sense. We, spiritually, need to bear fruit, and we will bear fruit if we are spiritually healthy, if we're spiritually alive. And that's our topic today, the secrets of living. Now, these things are not secret in the sense that God didn't want us to know them or that they're difficult to know, but rather they're secret in the sense that many people spend their entire lives searching for these things, searching for happiness and the true signs of life in a person, yet seemingly miss them. This is because we search in the wrong places. Instead of turning to God and to His book, we turn to all of the things that man offers. Week by looking at the fact that the secret of living is bearing fruit. Now, all of these lessons come to us from John chapter 15, and I encourage you to turn there in your Bible and be prepared to study along with us. Living is more than just being alive. In Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1, Paul wrote, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." These were people who were alive physically, but they were not alive spiritually. They were serving Satan, and they were dead in their sins. We also learned that it's important for us to be able to identify how we bear fruit. Now, we can do this in at least two different ways. One is that we can grow spiritually. That means that we read the words of the Spirit in the Bible, and we fashion our lives according to those teachings. By doing so, we grow spiritually, and we produce the fruit of the Spirit, the one who gave us the Word of God. But we can also bear fruit by planting the gospel in the hearts of others. When the seed, the Word of God, is planted into good and honest hearts, then those people will become Christians, and by doing so, we bear fruit for the Master. We also ask the question, how much fruit should I bear? It would be a terrible thing to fall short of the Master's expectations. We learned that not all can bear the same amount of fruit, for we have different talents and different abilities. But we must all bear as much fruit as we possibly can. Now, this week, we want to continue our study. Just as last week, we take our text from John chapter 15, where Jesus refers to Himself as the true vine and us as the branches. Just as it's important that the secret of living is bearing fruit, it's important that we understand the secret of bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. In fact, the text very clearly says we cannot bear fruit outside of Christ. Now, this idea of abiding in Christ is very important. In this short passage, in fact, in the first 10 verses of John 15, 10 different times we're told to abide in Christ. We're given an explicit command to abide. John 15, verse 4, abide in me. John 15, verse 9, abide in my love. We're also given a warning in verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. We're also told that if we obey the command and avoid that warning of being cut off, there is a reward. In fact, we're told in verse 15 that he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Now, this is a reward in and of itself, this bearing of much fruit. As we learned last week, the secret to living is bearing fruit. So he who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. He will be alive, alive spiritually. Now, it's important that we take the warning very seriously, because we're told a branch can be removed from the vine. The vine is that source of life, and we must stay connected to it in order to bear fruit and be alive. But we're told in verse 2 of John 15 that every branch in me that doth not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, we need to be sure that we are bearing fruit so that we will not be pruned away from the vine. We will not be cut off. There's a historical way that we can understand and learn this lesson. The nation of Israel was God's chosen people under the Old Testament times, but we're told by Paul in Romans chapter 11 that they were cut off because of their disobedience. In fact, beginning in verse 19, speaking to Gentile Christians, he says, they were grafted into the vine, and the natural branches, making a reference to the Jews there, had been cut off because of their unbelief. He then gives us a warning. Consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. You see, He made it very clear to us that we must be obedient to Him, or we will be removed from the vine. Now, what does it mean to abide? Very simply stated, it simply means to stay. To abide with Jesus means to remain with Him, or to stay with Him. Now, if we do abide in Him, He will remain with us. John 15 and verse 4. Now, that sounds very simple. Just stay with Jesus. Just remain with Him and don't be moved. But it's not that simple. In fact, we find out that in order to stay with Jesus, we're going to have to endure suffering. In Romans 8, beginning in verse 16, Paul wrote, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." You see, it's real easy to stay with Christ during the times that are easy, or when we think about the times where we'll be glorified together with Him. But it's much more difficult to stay with Him, to remain faithful and by His side during the times that are hard and difficult. But we cannot be glorified together with Him in the end if we will not suffer with Him here on this earth. That means that there are times when abiding with Christ will not be easy. It will require suffering. It also means that there are times when we will have to remain by His side through periods of work. Now, many seem to think that spiritually we have a free ride into heaven because Jesus went to the cross for us. I want to be very clear here. There's nothing that you, or I, or anyone else can do to earn His salvation. No man will ever stand before God on the end and say, "You owe me a home in heaven because I was so good." On the other hand, the Bible does clearly require of us works of obedience and works of righteousness in order to go to heaven, and we cannot go to heaven without them. We cannot become a child of God without those works of obedience, and we cannot remain faithful without those works of righteousness. Now, Paul identified workers as all being equal in God's eyes. In 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 6, he said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Paul had a habit of going and preaching the gospel where it had not been preached before. Apollos evidently followed along behind and taught those who had already heard the gospel message. Paul says, "I'm nothing and Apollos is nothing. I'm the planter and he's the waterer, but God gives the increase." If we're going to abide with Christ, we need to understand it'll be through times of suffering and it will be through times of work, but we must remain faithful in all situations. Now, the Bible also teaches us that we need encouragement to abide with Christ. I think of the man named Barnabas. In fact, his name means son of consolation or son of exhortation. He is one that the church in Jerusalem sent down to Antioch for the purpose of strengthening the brethren. And we're told in Acts chapter 11, about verse 23, that when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Now, he was called the son of exhortation, and here he exhorted these people. He encouraged them to abide with the Lord, continue with Him, stay with Him. There were very trying times facing the church of the first century. Many would be tempted to leave the Lord and go back into some other way. Here he encouraged them to continue, to remain steadfast. He and Paul also did this on their missionary journeys. In Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 21, we read that when they, this is Paul and Barnabas, had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. You see, they understood that it was important that these young Christians abide with Christ, even during difficult times. So they went around not only teaching, but they went around strengthening and encouraging. We must do the same today. Now, I ask us the question, how can we know that we are abiding in Christ? Is it possible to know? Well, the answer not only is that it's possible, but we must know. In 2 Corinthians 13, in verse 5, we're told to examine ourselves as to whether we're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? We must be able to know. The way that we can know is by looking at our lives and seeing whether or not we are actually a partaker of the work of Christ, whether or not we're actually in there laboring with Him and doing what He wants us to do. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We can do what's right. Oh, we will be tempted to do wrong, I understand that. In fact, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith. See, Paul wanted to know whether or not the brethren there in Thessalonica were remaining faithful, because, lest by some means the tempter has tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. Paul knew that people could be drawn away, but he also knew that if we are encouraged and we are committed to remaining faithful, we can abide with the Master. In fact, not only can we, but we must.